Create Art Podcast, KDOI Rebroadcast, Improv and Slam Poetry as Art. Hello, friends. This is Timothy Kim O'Brien, your head instigator at Create Art Podcast, where I bring my 20 years of art and education to help you tame your inner critic and create more than you consume. In 2021, I am rebroadcasting my former podcast, KDOI Podcast, here so you can catch up on what we've been doing for the past 4 years. Now, KDOI Podcast was my first serious attempt at podcasting after spending many years just creating content without regard to the final product. Now, KDOI started in 2016, and I had 3 seasons until I closed it down in 2019. And I wanted to make sure that these gems didn't get relegated to my external hard drives. So here you go. There's going to be interviews, commentary, and projects that you can do for yourself. Enjoy these rebroadcasts and create more than you consume. And that was some great music from DJ Vulture. Hi, I'm Timothy Kim O'Brien, and I want to welcome you all here today to Kimo's Den of Iniquity. Folks, I've got a rare treat on the line here with us today. Someone that I've worked with in the past in my days in Chicago. Someone who, oh my gosh, I actually partnered up with, and you know that's very hard for me to do, as we've discussed in previous episodes, folks. I've actually paired up with this fine gentleman in a project that we'll discuss a little bit later on in the show here. But I'd like to bring on the air for you, for your listening pleasure, Ramon. Ramon, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're just fine out here in good old Virginia. How are you doing in the Chicagoland?
Oh, it's wet right now.
It's wet. Is it wet because you're there, or is it just wet because it's weather wet?
Both.
Excellent. Well, that's a great answer. You're already starting this off perfect. So, just for full transparency, because that's what I'd like to do with all my guests and my listeners, Ramon and I have worked in the past, like I said, in Chicago, and we partnered up on a great project that I'm very proud of. I still have a lot of tapes and a lot of YouTube videos on. But Ramon, you and I started working with Southstation. And can you talk a little bit about Southstation and your relationship with Southstation?
Sure. Southstation is a theater company here based in Chicago. We formed in 1998. Initially we were a all Latino theater company. And the reason why we were all Latino theater company was because there was a voice missing in the improv sketch community, in the Chicagoland area. And that voice was the Latino, Hispanic voice. There were other groups out there who were represented. There was a group called We Be Negroes. There was another group called Stir Friday Night, which were an Asian group, and the We Be Negroes was an African American group. And, you know, we just didn't feel that, you know, our voices were being heard. We were paying a lot of money to get onto the stages and attend the schools of Improv Olympic, Second City, and another theater called The Annoyance. And we just felt that we weren't being properly represented. So quite a few of us got together, formed Southstation, and here we are. This many years later.
Excellent. That's right. Now, I remember our first pairing, and you might remember this, you might not, but we were doing Salsa Sketch.
Yes.
And I believe that was 2009, if I'm not correct. Nelson said it was 2009. I don't know if his memory is great. Do you remember it being 2009?
I I believe it was.
Okay.
I believe it was. Yeah.
I just remember it was cold as hell, and we got frozen out and everything like that.
Yeah. Nelson Velasquez and I, we tag teamed the producer title and try to get that bad boy up at a theater called the Gorilla Tangle Theater, and it was cold. Ooh. It was it cold. My God. There was ice on the sidewalk. We couldn't even get into the theater for the first like half hour because we had to chip away at the ice and get rock salt to throw down to be able to just enter the space.
Yeah, I remember how cold it was. And now Salsa Sketch, what that is remind me if I'm incorrect here or not, but that's where you actually auditioned a bunch of actors, and then they came in the morning, wrote the scripts and everything, rehearsed in the afternoons, and then performed it that evening. So in less than 24 hours, you had, I think we had three groups that time, three groups doing a whole show that evening. Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, less than 10 hours to be precise. So we would get there at the crack of dawn and, assign people to groups and to their directors, had three different directors. And, you would come in, bring ideas with you as to what you think you might want to talk about. And then the director's responsibility was just to pull the best out of you. And, it would start off with just a suggestion. Some improv was done. Sketches were written and performed that same day.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I remember right, I was working with Nelson. I think he was an actor in my group, but I believe you were the director of my group. Is that correct?
Wow. God, I did three of them. Mm-hmm. I remember you played the Black Obama.
Well, I actually played the White Obama.
Oh, I'm sorry. The White Obama. That's right.
I am Canadian. A lot of people have mistaken me for Obama in past years. But yes. No, I played the White Obama.
Yes. Oh, my God. And you did a hell of a job, too.
Well, I had a great director, let me tell you. Well, the reason why I bring that up, Ramon, is now myself, I had very little improv experience. As a matter of fact, I was on that in that audition on a fluke. The only other improv I've ever done, and I'm not an actor type person. I'll get on stage and be stupid, but the only other acting type thing I've done or improv thing I've done was Mentos Junkies. Down in Southern Illinois, where we went to Paducah, we went to Carbondale, and we went to this the thriving metropolis of the city metropolis, and Redbud. We hit those four cities all the time, but I had never done like improv like you guys had done, and thank you for saying I did a hell of a job. I appreciate that.
But
a person coming in off of the street, what do they need to know about improv? I mean, is it a mystical thing that, only 144,000 people in the entire earth are born with? Or is it something that it can be taught? Tell me a little bit about improv with you.
Well, I can only share my own experience. I was asked by a friend of mine from high school to go and see a show called The Herald at the Improv Olympic. And basically what the Improv Olympic The Herald at the Improv Olympic was that, a monologist would come out. They talk about, they get a suggestion from the audience, and then they would share an experience that they had. And then scenes would follow after the monologue. And that would happen a few times throughout the show. Well, having seen this, I thought to myself, man, that's something I could do. Mm-hmm. I could definitely do that. So sure enough, within a few weeks after having been exposed to that show, I started taking classes at the Improv Olympic. And yes, it can be taught, because I am a very shy person, and I did not think of myself as a funny person. And so I went through 2 years of the Improv Olympic as an intern so that I can be, so that I could see as much improv as I could possibly get, you know, lay my eyes on. And, yeah, so I eventually learned that, the most important thing to do is yes. And, those are your two big words in the improv community. If you can say yes and add something to a suggestion or something that the scene partner that you're in a scene with throws at you, then you are golden. And that is the basis for improv. You throw out a suggestion, and you create right off the cuff. And the one of the rules that that you learn right off the bat is, you know, learn how to break the rules. So learn all these rules that we have in a book that we're going to throw at you, and then you're going to learn how to break every single one of those rules.
Excellent. And Ramon, you know, everyone's, you know, been to an improv show, stand-up comedy show, stuff like that. And, you know, the people are hilarious, you know, otherwise we wouldn't pay, you know, $20, $30 to go see them and right. all that kind of jazz. But are those people trying to be funny? Are you trying to be funny on stage? Is it your mission in life to be funny on stage? Or when you're doing your improv, is it just you're reacting to what's being tossed at you at the time?
It's a little bit of both. You know, I hate to say it that way. You know, a good improviser will be there for their fellow actor. So, you know, one of the rules that you learn is to give gifts in a scene. So say where you and I are doing a scene and, you know, the location that has been thrown out is bathroom, you know, and you start off the scene brushing your teeth. And then I come in and I add by, you know, either adding a roll of toilet paper to the bathroom or, you know, try to add something to the scene. You know, the responsibility of each actor is to make each other look good. Mm-hmm. And if you have a team and if you're in sync, if you have gelled, then you will have a good show. Or at least I think you will. And even the bad ones are good.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And, you know, that whole trust between the actors and all that, you know, it's definite. It's a definite comfort on stage, because when you're on stage, I mean, I still get butterflies in my stomach. I think, you know, I think anyone would be lying to you if they said they never got butterflies in their stomach.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, you still get butterflies.
yeah.
But I think one thing that I've learned in my life is to use that energy, that nervous energy, and expel it to my fellow actors, expel it to the audience members that are out there. And, you know, by the time I'm off the stage, I'm exhausted. I've got, you know, towels, and I've got people, you know, putting me in a jacuzzi, and I've got, you know, my champagne going on, my cigar going on, my massage is going on. And I know you do that too, because that's where I learned it from.
Yeah. Thanks, by the way, for the massages that you've given me in the past. I do appreciate that.
Not a problem.
So,
and there'll be pictures of those massages on our website here on the show notes. Look for those, folks.
Yeah, you know, I got to say that it is definitely it can definitely take a toll on you. I've never done anything like improv where it's just you put your all into it. Well, at least I do. And I try, you know, to just, you know, get as much physicality out of it, put in as much, you know, mental knowledge into it and just be topical. You know, one of the biggest things that one of my former, teachers, a gentleman by the name of Del Close, taught us was to, you know, to be on top of current events and to read. That was always his thing. And, you know, it can take its toll on you. And by the time you get off stage, man, all you want to do is just have a drink and get some fresh air.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm usually the first one out there with a cigarette, but I don't smoke anymore.
Oh, hey, yeah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Wow, that's great.
Stopped in right before Memorial Day of this year, and I don't want to do it again. So that's why I'm not on stage. That's why I'm behind a mic all the time now.
Well, I congratulate you, sir. That is a feat.
Well, yeah, thank you so much. Absolutely. So let's get back to you here now. So you've done the improv.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're a writer because
yes.
There's a project that you and I worked on together. It was your idea. You brought it up. And, you know, we're talking about Nelson in the third person, but you had a project back when I was living in Chicago. What was that project called again?
It was called Word Up. And it was a slam poetry show. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. It was there's a gentleman by the name of Mr. Smith, and I'm trying to remember his name. It's like blocking me right now.
That would be Mark Kelly Smith.
Yes, thank you. Oh my God, how could I ever forget that man's name? That man put me through hell and back. Mm-hmm. Made me a better performer because of it. Mm-hmm. Mark Kelly Smith, the man who invented slam poetry.
So what?
Yeah. So what? If you ever get a chance to see his shows, you will know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that man is, God, what a blessing he is to the world of poetry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we created a show that sort of followed the same guidelines of a slam poetry event, which is to, you know, go up, perform a poem, and then if you're liked, you know, folks will vote for you and you make it into the next round. And then if you do it again, then you make it into the third round. And the third round, then it's a head-to-head competition, and whoever wins a small prize. Mm-hmm. And so we created a show very similar to that. And we were lucky enough to have done 7 shows, and I still have fond memories of it.
Now, with that show, I remember we had our special twist on that. You know, you go through the first 2 rounds, you're doing your poems and all that. But in the third and final round, the head-to-head round, that was the improv round. That's where you brought in your improv improv skills.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the first round was help me out here, Tim, because I know the last round was the candy round, but the first mm-hmm. round was the slam round.
Yeah, the first rounds were just regular old slam rounds.
Yeah, just regular old slam rounds, and then the candy round was the improv stuff. So you would get a suggestion, and you had to come up with a poem based on the suggestion, and by show of hands, you know, or actually it was there. We had 3 judges out in the audience who would score it. Mm-hmm. And then whoever had the higher score would win the competition.
That's right. Now, I thought it was pretty unique how we, how do I put it politically correctly? We poached a lot of our people off of Green Mill.
Yes.
And I think that's okay. I don't think that's a bad thing. But we saw a number of poets that we both felt were really good performers. And I think, you know, and I'm going to toot our own horn here because I think we did a damn good job of what we did with those 7 Word Up episodes. I like to call them episodes. And you know, it was about the performance, but especially that final round, that improv round, really threw a wrench into some poets. Now I think we only had 1 improv guy actually win the whole thing, but the poets found the improv round to be very challenging to them. And then improv guys found the poetry part to be a challenge to them.
Yeah. It's just like a comedian trying to do a dramatic, you know, role, mm-hmm. as opposed to a dramatic actor trying to, you know, do a comedic role. They both find the other to be challenging.
And there's nobody really doing that kind of format in Chicago right now. But I, you know, we got a little bit of a following in that. And, you know, everyone that came and saw the shows were really impressed with what they saw there. So kind of goes to show you that, you know, have a weird idea, go ahead and do it. Like, you know, who thought it was a bad idea to put sharks and tornadoes in the same show? I mean, come on. We're on Sharknado number 7 or 8 right now. You know.
But is it a Revenge of Sharknado now or something?
Yeah, I think it's Jason versus Sharknado or something like that.
Oh,
that's
what it was. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just ideas like that and ideas that you get when you're on stage in improv and all that. And moving back to improv for just a second, because, you know, I definitely want to dispel a lot of the mystery behind improv and all that. So when you're on stage doing improv, is it just really right off the top of your head, or is there a lot of practice and rehearsal behind the improv?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, with anything that you find interesting and important to yourself, you know, it's all about what you put into it. You know, obviously, is what you get out. So with improv, yes, if you have a team that you're working with, you meet on a regular and you work on different formats, different forms, different ideas, and you work at it until you get to a point where you feel comfortable with it enough that you know if thrown into any last minute show, you can survive a show. Mm-hmm. And it's all about practice.
And you don't have to do 15,000 hours of practice, but it helps.
No, it definitely helps. But as long as you're meeting up with your team at least once a week, I think you're good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Good to go.
All right, so Ramon, we're going to shift gears a little bit here. We've been talking a lot about the past, which is always good. We need to know where we come from, right?
Yep, exactly.
Right. So where are we at right now? So toss out some projects that you're working on right now, because I know you're a super busy man. I mean, you're almost as busy as I am, probably busier, actually.
Yeah, I work full time. I decided to go back to school, and so I do that part time, and I have my family full time. So, opportunities don't come as often as that they once did. Mm-hmm. So you have to create them. And there is no such thing as a dumb idea or a bad idea. If it tickles your funny bone, if it makes you think about, if it makes you think about it throughout your day, or if it keeps you up at night, then damn it, follow it. Because there's nothing more important than expressing what it is you need to get out of your soul, fleshing it out.
Absolutely. We were talking before the show started, and you were telling me that you're dabbling a little bit into some paint.
For a while there, I hadn't performed, and prior to getting into improv, I dipped and dabbed in art. I had taken a semester at the Art Institute in Chicago. I had won third place in an art competition my senior year. And to be honest, I didn't even think my work was all that to deserve the third place. But hey, you know, we're our own worst critics sometimes. And so I received the scholarship and went and, you know, learned a little bit. And from that experience, I would, you know, just dabble in freehand sketches and I studied a lot of Salvador Dali and Frida Kahlo. And then I was, like I said, about a year ago, I, found myself not in any shows. And so I found, I needed an escape, somewhere to, put my energies into. And so a friend of mine from, my job, he became what is known as a slap artist. And I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically taking artwork, putting it on or creating artwork on U.S. mail labels. Mm-hmm. So the U.S. mail, the U.S. postal mail labels the to and from, and you just create artwork on top of that. And it's been a growing trend for quite some time, well, a few years now. Well, he has a character called the Lucky Gnome character. And so he got me into it, and I started creating slap art. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they call it slap art is because you do this art on this, on these labels, which are basically big stickers, mm-hmm. and you slap them onto any place you feel you need to have your artwork seen. So mostly it's like street signs, newspaper, dispensers and stuff like that. And or buses and car bumpers and stuff like that. So I got into it and, did about probably about 20 different pieces. And, you know, obviously from the first piece to the last piece, you start looking at, man, you know, I've grown. You don't think you do, but you do, you know, because you put that much effort into it, you're eventually going to learn something from it. Mm-hmm. And so that was my last thing that I worked on as far as working with, you know, a medium of art. But, you know, as far as other genres, I am working with Nelson Velasquez on some sketches. And by sketches, I mean comedy sketches, to create a show that we may put up in January for the Chicago Sketch Festival. And I'm also working with a gentleman named Michael Villarreal. He and I had founded a theater company called Madre Mia, and it was we did three shows, and we decided we wanted to do some more. So we're working on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a lot of writing when I can.
When you can. So for our audience out there, okay, so Ramon, it popped it out there. He's got a full-time job. He's got a full-time family. And, you know, family is not a 40-hour-a-week kind of thing. Family is 80, 90, 100 hours a week, easily. Doing school part-time. And he's doing his art. So no excuses out there, right, Ramon?
Yeah.
There's 24 hours in a day. You get enough sleep when you die. Right.
What are you doing with them? You know? Look, the biggest lessons I've ever learned, or tips that I ever learned, was that a gentleman by the name of Samuel Betantes said to me, utilize chunks of time. If you are on a bus waiting to get to work, utilize that time. If you are waiting in line at the grocery store, utilize that time. Utilize the time anytime you get, even if it's 10 minutes, utilize that time. Write something down, sketch something, do something that's going to help you express yourself. And I shared that with you and hope that, others will follow that advice if they find it interesting enough for them.
And if they're going to sit here and listen to this podcast, they damn well better, right? Because I'm looking at everybody listening to this podcast. I'm not seeing a whole lot of pens and paper and paintbrushes. So I need to start seeing that. Come on in here now.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. So, Ramon, are you ready? Are you ready for the Satanic Seven questions?
Dun, 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 dun. I am ready.
Now, I already checked ahead of time. Ramon is not a Satanist, as far as I know.
Right.
Okay, good, good. And those 13 virgins that you sacrificed in your backyard last week had nothing to do with anything, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. That's why I didn't deliver them. By the way, they weren't virgins because they were in my van, so I'm sorry.
Oh.
All right, so let's remind everybody here, we are scoring this, so Ramon, you will get a score at the end of these questions.
All right.
We do have so far one person that has scored perfect. It was not Nelson. He did not get perfect. I will just let you know for full transparency, I wrote the questions. I got 3 right, 4 wrong.
Okay. So
that tells you how hard these are. That tells you how hard. Now, I've got the worst score.
All right. All right.
These are things, these are questions we don't ask. We don't ask why.
Making me sweat. You're making me sweat.
So, we will get these questions rolling here for you. You ready for your first question?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your first question is, what is the allure to being an artist, and do you live up to the myth, or do you perpetuate the myth of being an artist?
You know, it's so funny. I don't look at being an artist as allure. I mean, if you like, you know, well, it all depends on what kind of an artist you are. But I mean, you know, but I think as a base, most artists are struggling to get their work out there and are, you know, the whole starving artist thing. And it's not an allure to me, especially since I'm a big guy. You know, I like to eat. And, you know, when I don't have food, I get hangry. So, yeah, I don't think there's an allure to it. I think it's just something you do. At least for me, it is. It's something that I do to, express my inner self, and out into the world. So, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you a half one on that. I'm going to give you half one because you're not that big of a guy. I'm a bigger guy than you are. You're not that big of a guy. You're a beautiful man. You're very alluring. Come on now. All right. All right. So I'm going to give you a half. I'm going to give you a half one on that.
Okay. All right. All right.
So I told you this ain't easy. This ain't easy. People come on the show and they're thinking, oh, I'll get those satanic seven questions right. I'll get all seven of them. No, 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 no. No, you won't. This ain't NPR, kids. This ain't NPR. All right. Question number two.
All right.
All right. Can art be defined for everyone? Better yet, should art be defined for everyone?
No. I mean, it's so subjective. You know, you what I like or what you like. Is, you know, my mother may not like, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, it's how do I put it? I mean, you know, I wouldn't want somebody to tell me, you know, what art is because, you know, I've seen so many artists out there who I feel personally should be in a museum. Mm-hmm. And are not, you know, and, you know, unfortunately that's the world of art. You know, you work hard at it and some people see you, some people don't. And depending on who's seen your work, you know, it could stay in that room or it could be in a museum. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as like, you know, drawing and painting and all that, but I guess it covers all the arts, I guess, you know, it's all about who, you know, where you're at, you know, and mm-hmm. who's in the room.
So what you're trying to say is you, like the, you like to have some mystery to your art. You don't like it to be so, cut and dry and just put up for you. Like, you know, this is a toilet.
Yeah. Right. You know, what was that? Duchamp
yep.
with his urine, you know, like, the first time I ever saw the urinal, I was like, this is art? Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. You know, but someone else in my class was like, oh man, that's so brilliant. Found art. Like, okay. You know, but I didn't think it was less than someone else's art. I just thought it was different.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you got that one right. So you got a point and a half. You're doing good. You're doing good. Okay. All right. By the way, Nelson got 5 right, so I think your goal is to get more than 5 then.
Okay, all right.
That way you can brag to him. You can call him up after this is over and go, I got better than you. All right. Point and a half so far. All right, let's go with question number three.
Okay.
How do you describe your process from inception to creation to display or final presentation?
Usually I start with having an organized space. I cannot work in a disorganized space. And it goes for my homework and work at school as well. I think it's just in every aspect of my life. The very first thing I do is clean up, organize, and then I'm able to focus on my work. There's something about being in a messy space that just it doesn't help my creative process. It feels like my own thoughts are getting disorganized because the room is. Mm-hmm. So I always start with that. I usually think about and reflect on things that have taken place. So either within the day, the week, the month, reflect back at things like that. Things that have, you know, affected me. And if I don't think of anything, then I usually turn to the internet and I just start, you know, surfing the net. And if I have an idea and I just don't know how to flesh it out, then I, you know, go into research mode and start looking up things and find out more than what I need to, which is a good thing because, you know, we could stand to always be that much more educated on whatever it is that we're getting ourselves involved in.
Okay.
So, you know, from there, you know, I, you know, do the research, and if I find things that interest me, I jot them down and then find a way to incorporate them into my art. And then from there, it's just, you know, where the pieces fall. And then, you know, work at it, edit, you know, as a writer, that's the very first thing you learn. Don't get attached to your work, you know, cause it's all about the rewrite. And so I've been able to, carry that over into my artwork and into my improv.
Are you trying to tell me you don't write it perfectly the first time?
I don't think anyone ever has.
Oh, well, oops. Oh, okay. I'm going to give you the point on that one, but I never edit. I'm kidding. Excellent. No, yeah, I'm definitely giving you a point on that one. So you're at 2.5. So you're halfway to beating Nelson. Uh-huh. You're halfway there, right, man. You're halfway home.
All right.
You can totally blow off a question and you could still beat him. So just letting you know. All right. So that was question number three. Good job on that, by the way. Good job. All right. Yeah, no, you're doing good. Hey, like I said, you know, I'm only as good as my director is, and you're a fantastic director.
Oh, well, thank you.
You taught me everything I know about improv.
Well, I thank you. I have a problem with taking compliments. It's one of my things. I don't know how to take them. So I'm just going to say thank you. And I do appreciate that.
You got it. All right. Question number four. Mm-hmm. This one is a tough one. Okay. If you, and this one, you know, we've only had one person get this one right, and I didn't get it right, and I wrote the damn question. So here we go.
Okay.
You might be the first one to get this one right.
Oh boy. Here we go.
If you throw yourself at the ground and miss, what are you doing, and how do you continue to accomplish the seemingly impossible task?
Get up. Get your ass up. Wow. One of my life lessons I've learned back in the day is I used to be a punker, and I used to enjoy going into slams in the mosh pit. And one of the things that you learn right from the very beginning is if you fall, get the hell up. Don't think about it. Get up. You know, there's no time to think or you will get crushed. And, so that for me has always been a life lesson, especially since I, you know, the very first time I went into a pit I fell. And I was like, oh, well, this isn't so bad. Is it? Oh, God, there's a boot to my jaw. Yeah, so, you know, you learn very quickly to get up off your laurels and do something. No matter what it is, just get up. And, you know, I think a large part of getting up is not just, you know, getting up is just reflecting. I believe it was Albert Einstein said that, you know, it's like something to the effect of, you know, you work on something for 6 days and you give yourself that seventh day to rest so that you can approach the problem with a different light. And yeah, I completely agree with that. And I'm not doing his quote any justice. But it's something along those lines. And, yeah, get up, don't sit, make sure that your work is your priority. Even if you do take a little bit of a break, you know, make sure that that's on the fire. Don't take it off the fire. The moment you take it off the fire, then it becomes, it lends itself to time fading. At least that's how I see it.
Excellent. Hey, I'm giving you the point on that one. And, you know, for you,
you know, that's a hard one. I didn't know how to answer that. Wow.
That is a tough one. That is. Yeah. Do you know where that question comes from?
No.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh,
it's the secret of flying.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But I like your answer better. So we're going to give you that one. And we will find that Einstein quote, and we'll have that in the show notes for you. So not a problem. Folks, don't worry about it. He may have murdered it a little bit, but that's okay. That's what improv is all about. You murdered it a little bit, and you're going to go get some knowledge on your ass.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. So you've answered that question. So you're at 3.5. You're doing good. Doing good. Let's go with question number 5.
Okay.
What is the question you are always asked that you dislike, and why do you hate that question?
I'm going to relate it to doing improv and learning improv. The question I hate the most is, oh, you do improv. Oh, you're a comedian? Oh, tell me a joke. God, I've always wanted to strangle every single person who's ever asked me that. It's like, look, man, I'm not Chris Rock. You know, I'm not any one of these famous comedians. You know, improv is just, you know, and to try to explain it is like a waste of time, you know, because they want to know the funny right then and there, you know. Mm-hmm. So I would say that just because people don't understand what it takes to be an improviser. So, yeah, that question always irked me from anybody who's ever asked it of me.
Now, see, the question I always hate is, do you work here? I'm like, oh, dude, am I dressed like people at Walmart? You know, no, I'm not. I guess I have that stooped shoulder, you know, low forehead kind of thing going on for myself. All right, I'm going to give you that one. You're at 4.5. You just need a half point. You just need a half point. To tie up with Nelson, a full point puts you ahead of Nelson, okay?
All right.
I know you got him on speed dial. You can't wait to call him up. You can't wait to call him up. All right, here we go. All right. Question number 6. All right. This one may include math.
All right.
Are you ready for a math question? Do you got your pen and paper handy?
Huh?
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
I do not, but I can get one. Hold on.
No. Oh, no, don't worry about it. You can. Yeah, you know what? We can pretend that you have pen and paper handy.
All right. There you go. Yes, I do have pen and paper. I am writing this down as we speak.
All right. Or you could take out a knife and do it in your own blood.
Oh, awesome.
Isn't that a better idea? That's a better idea.
I love options. I really do love options. Thank you, Tim.
I'm all about options here. All about options. All right, here we go. Question number 6. Mm-hmm. What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow? Second part. If possible, show your work.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you need that question again? Because this, you know, this could put you above Nelson. This could put you behind Nelson. I can give it to you again.
Okay.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow and, if possible, show your work?
My answer is Jell-O, and I could show you my work if you need it to be posted on your website. So, yes.
Okay, so Jell-O is your answer.
Yes.
And you will shoot me a picture of you carving into your arm and blood spurting out on your desk right there, and we'll put that in the show notes.
Yes. Yes.
That's a point right there. You got it. Now, I have to have that picture, otherwise you don't get the point. So I'll expect that picture to be emailed to me in the next day or two.
All right. All right.
Now, now make sure you get a tourniquet and don't pass out on me, okay?
Oh, no, no, no worries. No worries. I got a really big pillow on my arm right now.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
Yeah.
It's, it's absorbent.
Yes, super.
Okay. All right. So now you have beaten Nelson. So this one is just for, you know, just for honor and all that kind of jazz.
Okay.
All right. All right. Last question here.
Sure.
If money were no object, and if time were no concern, and if resources were unlimited, what project would you attempt? And the second part is, all negative factors being removed, would you allow this to be the only work that you are known by?
Wow.
Ooh, I know. That is the toughest.
If money were no object. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm giving you all the money in the world, all the time in the world, anything you want. It's at your doorstep. What you going to do?
You know, I always wanted to start up that circus. No, I would say open up a my own improv school. Mm-hmm. Just open up a theater company and get a chance to work with youth. I have a background in working with teenagers and with improv and with the back in the day I used to do the Say No to Drug campaign. Mm-hmm. So I did that, and I also was with a theater company called the Pegasus Players, and we did a playwright contest. Mm-hmm. And all three of those, I would love to be able to figure out a way to incorporate that into the curriculum of a school, of a theater school, and just be able to work with youth because they are our future.
Mm-hmm. Now, would that be the only thing you want to be known by then? If you got the school, that's the only thing you're known by. Are you good with that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, you know, I think, you know, we don't honor our teachers as often as we should. And if all I'm known for is providing a place where youth can come and express themselves and feel like they're a part of a family, then, hey, man, you know, I've done my job.
Now, to get the school built, would you be willing to run a telethon?
I'd be willing to do whatever it takes to get that school up on its feet.
Okay, well, that'll be season 2's project then. We will find out what Ramon is willing to do, really, to get his school up and on its feet and actually happen. So,
all right.
Folks, I think we're going to have our first telethon in season 2. Are you ready to run a telethon, Ramon?
Yeah, yeah. Can I bring family into the fold? And
absolutely. And, all hey, right. You know what?
I have a five-year-old who can sing her butt off.
Not a problem. We'll bring her on. We'll bring my twins on. We'll pull every trick in the book, everything. we'll get Jerry Lewis. We'll go ahead. I know he's dead, but you know what? We'll exhume him. We'll shoot some volts into him. We'll get, he knows how to do this telethon shit. We're going to do it, man. We're going to do it. Folks, you heard it here first. We're doing a telethon in season two. Be there. Bring your money.
All right.
And as Sven Gulli says, no personal checks. I want credit cards. I want Bitcoin. I want PayPal. No personal checks.
Or livestock.
Or, yeah, well, yeah, no livestock. God, no. No. You're bringing in a chicken, it better be fried from Harold's. I'm just saying. All right. Great, great. Well, Ramon, I tell you.
I'm sweating over here. I'm sigh of relief. Whew.
Well, guess what, Ramon? You got 6.5 there. Not only did you beat Nelson, but you beat him bad. You beat him bad.
All right.
You're in our pantheon. You got 6.5 questions out of 7 correct. How are you feeling? Are you okay?
Yeah. I'm feeling great. You know, this is a great platform, Tim, and I thank you for allowing me to participate in it. And you know, art is everything, and we have to do our share. And I thank you for giving us a place to do that.
Absolutely. Well, definitely here at Chemo's Den of Iniquity, we like to create more than we consume. And I think you said it best earlier when you were talking about, you know, utilizing all of the time that we have available. If you're sitting there waiting for a bus, if you're sitting there waiting for a train to go up into D.C., if you're sitting in traffic and you're a passenger, you know, not while you're driving, but you're a passenger.
Right.
Now, if you want to drive and do some really abstract art, go right ahead. But, you know, do some art, you know, write something down, do a song. There's so many platforms out there with which that you can do that. And we'll be discussing those in later episodes there. Ramon, any final thoughts you want to toss at us here?
No. I just, again, thank you. This has been fun. And I can only thank everyone that is listening for taking the time to do so.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ramon, for being on our show. Folks, we're going to see you in 2 weeks. And remember, second season, be there for the telethon. Ramon needs the money to get the school started up. Make it happen. Don't make him bring his kid out on here because his kid is adorable. His child is adorable. Don't make him bring that child out there and sing, because if you do, I want to see big dollars coming into the telethon, okay? All right. Again, thank you so much, Ramon. Folks, remember, create more than you consume. Ramon, you got one more thing to say, a shout out?
Yes, actually, I would like to give a shout out to my wife, Carla, my daughter, Frida, my mother, Maria, my father, Ramon, and everyone else who has made an impact in my life, and including you and including Mr. Nelson Velasquez and Michael Villarreal.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. Perfect way to end this show. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of KDOI Podcast here on Create Art Podcast. You know, this was a great interview that I had with Ramon. And I hope to have him back on the show again with Create Art Podcast to see what he's been doing lately. Now, if you'd like to be on the show, you can always email me, Timothy@createartpodcast.com. And you can go to our website, createartpodcast.com, and see everything that we've been doing there. We've got projects, we've got poetry, writing, painting, the whole 10 yards. So go ahead and create art for somebody that you love, yourself. See you next time.